Welcome to Marketplace Kingdom, a conference call and podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. We're looking to provide an ongoing conversation about biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Heisinger. This is our 11th episode, and our guest is Tim Cosby, one of the founders and lead trainers of the Empowerment Coaching Network. We'll be talking with Tim about full-spectrum leadership, a major shift in the way we equip and release people into their unique kingdom callings. Whether you're with us live or listening into the podcast replay here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dave Heisinger, and I am here today with Tim Cosby. Tim Cosby is the Executive Director of Empowerment Coaching Network International. Did I get your title right, Tim?
President, but Executive Director, President, cook and bottle washer, and I set up chairs.
So I've known Tim for a few years, and I would just like to describe for our listeners today why Tim is on. If you've been with us over the last few months, you will know that we are looking at what it means for the Church of Jesus Christ to take a step outside of the doors and into the marketplace. And is the church equipping them? Is the church ready for its members to see the marketplace as its place of ministry? This is a call. It's a challenge. We've had guests that have been from the business realm, the educational realm, from the church multiplication realm, and many more. And if you've been listening, you've been hearing us use some language of something called Seven Mountain Alliance or Seven Mountain Initiative. And what that basically is, in just in a phrase, it's taken from Abraham Kuyper, a Dutch theologian of the turn of the 19th century, who says that there are different spheres of influence that our sovereign God places his people in order for us to make a transformational difference in those spheres. And one of the things that has affected us in sending the church out, instead of just keeping the church inside our doors, but actually having a strategy and a design to the discipleship and equipping and anointing and apostolic gift of sending the church out of our doors, is the question that we come to today and the reason that we've invited Tim Cosby to come to this podcast, and that is this: how do we coach the church in all the different spheres of society? How does the principle found in coaching enable the church to be more effective in the transformational ministry of Jesus Christ in the spheres that they find that they have influence in? So welcome, Tim. Before we get into all that, would you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about Empowerment Coaching Network International and why you know us and why we know you and what we're doing today?
I appreciate that. Thank you, Dave. Great to be a part of this podcast today. I'm very interested in this topic that you're talking about. And when you and I first met about 6 years ago, I found you to be a pastor that was very open to something that a lot of pastors were not very open to. So you were a big supporter then, and I don't know if you know that, but a big encouragement actually to me personally. So this is great 6 years later to come on your podcast and talk about what God's been doing.
Awesome.
So empowerment, first of all, I should probably just take a second to define coaching because it's so misunderstood. There's so much baggage with it. And so just to take a second and say the kind of coaching that we're talking about is not athletic coaching. We're talking about an approach to conversations that uses listening and asking instead of telling, selling, and yelling, I call it.
It's not real, football.
It's not. This is not football. And so this is not your father's kind of coaching. It's really an approach simply that helps people to grow without telling them what to do. So that's kind of a working definition of coaching.
Perfect.
So, I started in this about 6 years ago because I sensed I was a pastor at the time and actually sensed that God was asking me to step into some new territory, and I wasn't really sure what it was. I was very comfortable in my pastoral role, and yet I sensed that God was asking me a very, very important question, and that was, will you trust me now? And at 55 at the time, I was very comfortable doing what I was doing. I was just doing what I was trained to do all my life. And so I had to think about the answer to that question because I've been preaching for years that, you know, you can trust God to, you know, and the new things that he wants to do. So In a real active obedience, I said, yes, I will, and what do you want me to do? And so I think he was inviting me into this world of coaching, even though I didn't really understand what he was trying to do at the time. And so in 2010, I stepped into coaching and got some coaching training and then started Empowerment Coaching Network to be a kind of a training place where we could take coaching training into organizations. So that's kind of how I got started, and a lot of things have happened between then and now, but I'll leave it at that.
I could just hear that conversation with Jesus. You want me to be a coach? I don't know anything about football.
Yeah, it's good.
I was blessed by you. During that transition, I knew you as not intimately or very well, but just had encounters as pastors, right? While you were in the past, then watched your transition and was blessed by these principles of coaching that you stepped into. And that I found it to be an approach that is purposeful in relationships. It affects how to relate at work, at home, or we volunteer. It works through conflict. It enhances passion. It tends to get the best out of people around us, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about the reality of coaching and how it is really something that affects all of our relationships.
Yeah. Well, think of coaching as an operating system and not as a program or not just a tool in your toolbox. I have to download updates all the time for the operating system for my iPhone, and it's kind of frustrating sometimes. But if I don't have the right operating system, if I don't have the most current one, then the apps that I download are not going to work properly. So if you think of coaching as an approach, as a conversational approach and an operating system through which all of your leadership is going to flow through, I think that's a better, more accurate way to look at coaching. So I think what we do is we're basically training leaders how to lead or influence through empowerment. And that is not the standard model of leadership in most organizations.
Talk about the relationship of training and empowerment. Why those are so important together?
Well, because leaders don't know how to empower. We know how to tell, and we know how to do command and control, and we're experts, and we've been trained that way. And so we're leading on one side of the leadership spectrum, which is kind of the command and control side.
Yes.
So I think leaders need to be trained. Actually, they need to be retrained a better way to lead, and that is to lead all the way across the leadership spectrum. I call them full spectrum leaders. Ooh. And so they need to learn a new approach to leading, and that is empowering people, asking questions, listening better, which most leaders just don't know how to do. And so that's what I think we bring to the table, is this new operating system that actually leaders can use to empower the people, to influence the people that they're serving. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's really what we all want. We want to be challenged and empowered and supported and encouraged, and we want to take ownership, and that's what coaching does.
Now, your webpage is called centerforempowermentcoaching.com, and people can go to that. Is there another source that, while people are listening to this podcast and if they have their computers up, is that the webpage that they can browse while we're talking?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, that page that you just referenced is the webpage for an organization that we started at Grace Bible College here in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Perfect.
And they asked us to come and start their Center for Empowerment Coaching. So for about 3.5 years, that's what we did. But our website is just empowermentcoachingnetwork.com.
Empowermentcoachingnetwork.com. Okay.
Yep.
So as people are listening to Tim, go ahead and begin to browse. If you're a multitasker, that's a great thing to do. Now, Tim, you were on a roll, and this is something that's really brought you to the point of meeting a need within the Church of Jesus Christ. It's empowered people, right?
Yes.
And the leadership problem of empowering people is that leaders think that they're implementers and not necessarily empowerers, those who empower others. Now, what are some of the pitfalls that leaders go through that coaching can help them be healed from those pitfalls?
Yeah, I don't know if I would call this a pitfall, but we find that leaders have to have a paradigm shift in their mindset. Let's just call it a mindset.
Okay.
And when I say mindset, I'm talking about how they view the other person, how they view what they know, knowledge, how they view how to accomplish a task, how they view how to solve problems. Leaders come with a mindset to all those things, and the kind of the traditional top-down command and control mindset sometimes is that they view other people's as lacking and inadequate. And
okay.
So they don't empower them because they don't think they can do anything. Or a lot of leaders assume that they already know everything about whatever subject you're talking about, so they don't really have to ask or listen because they already know. Some leaders, in terms of accomplishing a task, would say, well, the best way for me to help others accomplish a task is just to tell them what to do. Well, I would differ with that. Some leaders say, well, the best way to solve problems is that I, as the leader, need to understand the underlying causes of the problem, and I need to fix this problem for this person. So that's really the first thing that leaders have to deal with, is they have to have a different mindset.
Hey, so now we've got leaders who are, now you've got their attention. All right, I'm ready for a different mindset. Could you start us out? What are some steps I can take to begin this process of a new mindset?
Well, let me talk about, in terms of this mindset, what they're moving from and what they need to move to. So they're moving from treating others as lacking and inadequate to treating others as creative, resourceful, and capable. So that's one of the first things that has to change. They just have to change the way they view other people.
So other people are a blessing. Other people are a resource. They're not walls in the way, or they aren't something to knock over. They're something to celebrate and benefit from.
Yeah, and unfortunately, and I, you know, in seminary, I wouldn't say that I was taught to view people in a demeaning sort of way, but I was taught that I was going to be the expert. And so whenever I come into a meeting or whenever I'm in the room with my people in my congregation, I think I was just thinking, well, this is the reason I'm here, because I know. I know what to do, or I'm the expert, or whatever. And so I didn't necessarily look at the other person across the table as knowing more than I know, or as they might have a better idea than I do, and therefore I need to start with listening rather than telling. Does that make sense?
It does. It brings up a the word vulnerability a little bit.
Huh.
So, in other words, you're being a real person as a leader, and you're seeing people for who they really are, and they're seeing you for who you really are.
Yeah, I think the word vulnerable is a great word. There's another word that there's a guy from that's written a book called Humble Inquiry. And it's just a different mindset. In other words, it's taking this place of a servant and becoming humble enough to actually listen to what another person says and actually ask them open-ended questions, believing that they actually might have a better solution to whatever you're talking about than you do. So vulnerability, humility, servant leadership, that's what coaching brings to the table, I think.
Now, can these things be taught?
Well, I think, yes, they can. We always say that coaching is for the willing.
Okay.
But I think everything is for the willing. So, but in terms of coaching, I think a leader can learn how to coach if they're willing to change their mindset and if they're really willing to actually take the form of a servant. Which is
now, how does a leader go from doing the form of coaching to actually having integrity within it?
That's a good question. Say a little bit more about that question so I make sure I understand it.
So in our discussions, and I'm asking that because it came up a few weeks ago in our podcast, is just the integrity of going out into the marketplace is that we're not doing this just because we have to, but we have a passion within us. And we can't create this passion. It comes by the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I guess it was a leading question. I was wondering how the Holy Spirit is involved in this process of becoming the person that you are learning how to be through the coaching principles.
Yeah. Well, that's a really great question. I'll give a stab at the answer. I was teaching a class of college students at Grace Bible College how to coach. And about halfway through the course, one of the students said to me, said, Tim, you know, we've been learning a lot. He was a pastoral major. He says, you know, we hear a lot about being a servant leader. But he said, I'm seeing coaching as being a very practical way to take the posture of a servant in a conversation. And I said, well, that's a very profound insight, and if you really grasp that, it's going to change your leadership, believe me. It's going to change the course of your ministry, because that's not an easy thing for us to do. And so I think, again, that's kind of what coaching brings to the table. It requires a person to take the form of a servant, to become humble, and actually listen before they talk. In fact, I've heard somebody say, never miss an opportunity to shut up. And I think, frankly, a lot of leaders just talk too much because we think we know. Just stopping long enough to listen, and not only listening to the person you're coaching or the person that you're in conversation with, but listening, you know, God, what are you saying here? You know, that's what we need to do.
And then when the leader, I'll just back up a second. I think I should probably not say anything for the rest of the podcast. So as a leader, though, in a, let's say, a pastor in a church, now wanting to send people out into the marketplace, how does the principle that you just described in the movement of coaching now become a sending tool of sending people out of the church into the marketplace?
Yeah, good. Well, think of it this way. We're trying to build relationships with people in the marketplace. We don't want to just go and dump a message or something on them. We want to go and build relationships. And the only way we're going to be able to build relationships is through conversations. I think what God has been revealing to me about coaching is that what we need in the church, in the kingdom, is a conversational revolution. We don't know how to have good, open, profitable conversations. So let's just start there. It's like, how does coaching help you to have a better conversation with people in the marketplace? Well, here's one way. People need to feel like they have a voice. People need to feel like you actually care about what they're saying and care about them. Well, one of the best ways to do that is to ask them a very open-ended question and to listen to them and to say, that's very interesting, because what I hear you saying is this, you know. And when a person feels heard or acknowledged or appreciated, that's a good thing. That's a great way to build a relationship.
What if that person is just totally contrary to who we might be in church? Maybe this person is completely living a pretty unhealthy life, and et cetera. How do we not react but allow them to be?
Well, I mean, it's not like I've got a solution for that question, because it's a pretty involved, there's a lot of layers to that. But I think that having better conversations with people and listening to them and asking questions is just a great place to start. So if you've got a person out there that you're trying to develop a relationship with and they're coming from a completely different worldview, let's say, well, one of the worst things to do is to, you know, be confrontational with that person.
Talk about that for a while. What is that?
Well, yeah, I mean, Somebody told me this. They said, Tim, do you understand what it means to manifest the opposite spirit? And I said, well, I'm not sure that I do. And so I learned that if you're going into a situation where pride is the manifesting spirit, then you can't fight pride with pride.
Good word.
Right? So you have to fight pride with humility. So if you've got a person that is, you know, really perhaps upset and angry or whatever, I think listening and asking the question, you know, like, wow, you sound like this, you know, you're really frustrated by this. Tell me a little bit more about how that happened. You know, how did you get to this place? Because I'd really like to hear your viewpoint on this. Let's have a real human conversation here, not to beat each other up, but to fully understand each other. And so I'm going to start that and say, tell me about this. Tell me how you came to this viewpoint, because I need to understand you. Well, I'm thinking that just about any person would kind of take a step back or take a step forward and say, well, that's the first time somebody's ever asked me that question. Well, I think that's a good start to help us begin to understand where people are. I mean, we have to meet people where they are. My viewpoint is that we haven't really taken the time to meet people where they are. We come into a conversation and we know where we are, and we're trying to get that person to where we are. And I don't think that's the best way to build a relationship. I think I need to meet the other person where they are. Well, how do I find out where they are? Well, I need to listen. I need to ask some good questions. And I need to honor them as another human being created in the image of God. Does that make sense?
It does. I keep thinking a phrase that I have to remind myself. Dave, you are not God. God is the one who loves this person, changes this person. You need to listen and love them, you know,
right.
Because I'm not the one who makes the transformation in them. God does.
Exactly. So think of us as, and if we learn a coaching approach, we're coming into this relationship. God is already there.
Yeah.
So I'm acknowledging that fact, and I'm joining God in this new relationship, and I've got to believe by faith that he's already been working in this person's life, and I have no idea how he's been working until I stop and listen and ask. And then once I do, I think that's where we start to find some common ground, and then we kind of earn the right to tell our story, but to tell it in a way that's not, domineering, but is saying, okay, so this is, I hear you saying this, so here's where I'm coming from. What are some of the things that we could agree on? Well, I think that's a great conversation.
That's a perfect, I agree. Can we put this into, now let's go into a sphere with this.
Okay.
Let's go, this is a real story. I can't divulge names or anything, right? But there's a real story. Here's a person, a teacher in the education system in an administrative role, who is working with parents who are same-sex parents with a child in their school, and the child is struggling in their classes, not because of necessarily the situation at home, but just the situation in that child's life. And the same-sex parents come to the administrator and are struggling with the school and wondering if it's because the child is treated differently than the other students in the classroom. So that's the setting. These parents come into the administrator's office. Now, what advice can you give to that administrator, that school administrator, on that situation, on how the principles of coaching can diffuse and bless those parents?
Well, I think just starting by listening and asking instead of telling is going to kind of start the conversation off on a good footing. It respects the other person. So I'm going to come into that kind of situation, and my guess is that the parents understand perhaps the situation in the school system, and perhaps there are, you know, principles and laws already in effect or whatever. But what I want to do in that moment right there is I really want to understand what it is that these parents, same-sex parents, What do they really need? What is really going on behind this? Because we're going to have conflict. So the presence of conflict in a relationship doesn't, in a sense, doesn't mean anything. It's the method in which you approach conflict that determines the shared future. So I'd have to say, well, what kind of a shared future would I like with this family? Would I like to be able to speak into their lives in the future? And if I say yes, then that's going to change the way I start to build a relationship with these parents. And I want to understand where they're coming from. There's probably a lot of pain there. They've probably been very misunderstood. People don't agree with them. They're used to people being against them or whatever. And so I think, you know, we need to understand other people. And we need, really just need to treat them like other human beings, just like us. And we want to be respected, and they want to be respected. So I think, again, just acknowledging them, asking them open-ended questions that don't put them on the defensive, but actually allow them to tell you what is really going on. Well, I think that'd be a great start.
All right, let me give you another scenario, another true scenario. A young 30-something woman gets a job in a significant company that has franchises, and her boss is the CEO, and she needs to report to him, but she has a job of influence. But the CEO is really cruel, selfish, condemning, just a bear of a guy to work with, right? And does not treat her with respect or love because she's a woman, right? And he's just not healthy. But she's a godly woman with a family. She listens to the Spirit of God, right? She needs to go to work. How does coaching in an impossible situation like that, how does coaching help this Christian out in the marketplace?
I'm not sure that it does in that particular situation.
Okay.
So here's why I say that. If you would have framed that question from the viewpoint of the boss, I'd have a different answer. But with the woman, I'm not sure that coaching is directly going to help her necessarily, other than she might have some better questions to ask. She might be a better listener. She might be able to even have the language to say, you know, Mr. Smith, when you say things like you just said, it makes me feel inferior, and it makes me feel like you don't really respect me, and I'm wondering if that's what you're trying to do.
So you just described how coaching does help. Coaching gives a mindset, right? It gives a mindset, an awareness of the factors of communication that are taking place, right?
Okay, sure.
And
sure.
You can apply that mindset whether you are in any situation you're in.
Yeah, I would agree with that, absolutely. So my answer was kind of an indirect way in which coaching could relate to that particular scenario. What really needs to happen is that boss needs to wake up to the reality that he's disempowering people, and after a while, when he doesn't have any employees left, he might be open to approaching his leadership in a new way.
He may be listening today, right?
That, he might be.
Yeah, and he may be in any kind of a scenario. He may be listening today. And if you're a boss and you're listening, these principles of coaching lend themselves to being a godly coach, a godly boss, a godly leader from outside the doors of the church into the marketplace. There's a consistency in the principles of coaching from within the church to outside the church. We can't be two different people and these principles of coaching enable us to be one person within the church and outside the church. I have another scenario, and this one comes just from a conversation just today in preparation for this event. A father whose son plays a sport, and this father is a volunteer actual coach for his son's sport, and the players on the team are coming from families that aren't respectful to Christ, right? So that their language is harsh, their attitudes are harsh, the competition is extreme, and the gatherings, it's not the kind of kids he would necessarily even want his son to play with, yet he's coaching that team. Now, how does the principles of coaching that you're helping us understand help that father coach?
Well, that, again, coaching is when a person comes to me and they want to move from where they are to where they would like to be. So coaching is for the willing. So the scenario that you just set up is not really ideal for coaching, because these families and players probably don't want to be coached in that sense. So now you're talking about leadership that's probably further on the directive side of the leadership spectrum,
right?
You know, not so much on the real open-ended side of the spectrum. So I think that there are contexts in which coaching is very appropriate. There are other contexts as a leader where you do need to take control. You do need to take charge. So in that setting, if I'm the coach, and I've got a player that is just very vocal and rude, and is swearing out in the field, I'm gonna bring that player alongside of me just personally and say, okay, I understand that perhaps you think that this is the best way to operate in this situation. As your coach, I'm saying it's not. So if you'd like to play this position, then you're going to have to change the way you're talking on the field, because this is not the way we do things.
Perfect. Again, the mindset, right, of valuing the player, even though the language that comes, and listening to the player.
Right. In other words, I'm saying to that player, you know what? I think you're better than this.
Perfect.
And I think that you could accomplish, you know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish through this vulgar speech that you're doing? Think about that, because there might be a better way for you to accomplish your goal than to be swearing at the other player on the field. So I want you to think about that. But until then, I'm saying, if you want to play this position, this is the way we're going to do things. And you're a good player, and I want you in that position. Your team needs you. See, that's respecting the person, but at the same time saying, I don't condone this, and you're not going to do this as long as I'm in charge here, right? But, you know, you don't have to demean the other person. You're actually calling the best out of this other person.
Well, Tim, we're on the final minutes of our podcast today, and I would like to give you the opportunity to describe for us and to help us what are some things that we can do to learn about coaching and the Empowerment Coaching Network. And What are some steps we can take to begin the process of being a good coach to the world around us, seeing the best in the people around us?
Yeah, good. Good question. Well, I would say to those of you who are listening to this right now who really want to change the way that you're leading, who really want to become a full-spectrum leader, whether it's in your home as a parent or in your church as an elder or deacon or in your office as a boss, whatever, believe me, the people who are following you, who you are influencing, they would love it if you would develop a different way to lead. If you would learn how to empower them, you're going to build much, much better relationships. So it starts with that inside desire. Do I want to change? If you don't want to change, then I can't help you. But if you do want to change, then here's a good way to start. Actually, all of our training now is available online. So we can take a person through all the way through our professional coaching certification, no matter where they are, as long as they have internet access, right? Mm. So you can find that out on our website. You could go onto Amazon and order our book, Coaching-Based Ministry, Transforming Ministry Through Empowerment Coaching. It's available on Amazon, Kindle, and all the formats that you would need. That's a good place to start. You know, you could sign up for our introductory coaching skills and process course, which online takes about 5 weeks to complete. It's a couple times a week. It's live, so there's a live facilitator online, and we basically train you in the skills of coaching. And then beyond that, we have all sorts of advanced programs. If you're, you know, someplace here in the United States, and you'd like us to come to your organization to help you start changing your culture, we could do that. You know, we can come and start helping you to design a way that you can start training your leaders and your managers and your supervisors to become full spectrum leaders, because that's what's happening in companies today. High turnover, low engagement, very low retention of their, you know, best talent, and generational issues where millennials and baby boomers are having a hard time having conversations together. Mm. Well, coaching addresses all of those things. So, you know, we've got some white papers on our website that you can download for free. My phone number is on there. My email address is on there. Reach out to us. I'd be happy to answer your questions. And that'd be a pretty good place to start.
Well, I think, Tim, you've given us hope. You've given us hope. We can become leaders that see full potential in others. And God can use us, even us, right? Even me.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And again, I think we're following the example of Jesus. I went through the New Testament. I wrote down all the questions that Jesus asked. And there are about 100 different questions that Jesus asked. And I'm amazed at the way that Jesus ministered to people and the way he used questions. When he could give perfect advice, right? If anybody could give perfect advice, it would be Jesus.
Sure.
So why were there situations in which he didn't give advice? He asked people, who do you think I am? You know, what do you want me to do for you? I think it's amazing. And so I think Jesus kind of set the stage for this kind of approach to leadership. Were there times that he was directive? Yeah, he was, especially with the Pharisees, especially with the religious leaders. But with the common people, with prostitutes, with blind people,
sure.
He asked questions, and he built a relationship with them, and I think we could learn something from him.
There is always hope because our Savior gives us hope. We're told to put our hope in Jesus Christ as he is revealed to us, right?
Amen. That's right.
Well, Tim, this has been wonderful. You have been teaching us well, and we have been challenged, and I think we have hope.
Good.
We can go forward and see the world we influence be affected by the leadership strength of Jesus Christ, right, within us.
Yeah, that's, absolutely.
That's perfect. Well, yeah. Thank you. God bless you. And for our listeners, we'll see you next time. Like
thanks,
to say
Dave.
Goodbye to us, Tim?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I just challenge you, change your conversations, change your relationships, change your culture.
Perfect.
You can catch up on past episodes of Marketplace Kingdom at Street Faith, our podcast site, found at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. Be sure to click like, follow, and share. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. Costs for our podcast and ministry activities are covered by the generous support of listeners like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, or find out how you can have Dave Heisiger or myself as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. That's empowermentfriends@gmail.com. You've been listening to Marketplace Kingdom, Episode 11, entitled Full Spectrum Leadership, with our guest Tim Cosby. Marketplace Kingdom and the Street Faith Podcast Channel are both productions of One Rock Strategic Media and are made available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2016 Creative Commons copyright. Be sure to like, connect, and follow us at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com and share our podcast with your friends. Thank you for listening. We hope you've been encouraged. And finally, remember, you are important and you can make a difference for God's kingdom right where you are.